Gorman Yashrikaya. You know, Chav Rav Nomer Gorman, I'm thinking for close to a decade, we've been colleagues in a circle, something like that. And, you know, just his, Rav Gorman's halachiel, just watching the way he goes through his day, the way he interacts with people, all sorts of people, has been an ongoing source of inspiration for myself and my family for close to a decade. And then there are these moments when I get to hear him teach more extensively, and it like totally takes my appreciation of him and my inspiration from him to a new level. And this definitely did not disappoint. I think that's real a lot to think about. Rabbi Gorman was talking about these sort of these three circles, three big questions to be asking ourselves. As we were talking before, so we were sort of each coming, Rabbi Gorman and I, with sort of some larger categories that hopefully they're grounded in our Masorah, and hopefully we can each find ourselves in, and each find useful in sort of thinking and growing and experiencing HaKadosh Baruch Hu as we move forward on our trajectories in life. Rabbi Gorman took us back 2,000 years to Akavim and Mahalalel. We're going to hop in a time machine now and fast forward to around 900, 1,000 years ago, to two very famous Rishonim, two of the very famous early Rishonim, who had a lot to say about thinking about Halacha and Gemara, and also thinking about Emunah, and thinking about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and thinking about Hashkafa and Emunah. And they are the Rambam and Yehuda HaLevi. Often they seem like they're very different. They both lived in Spain, but Rambam was known as like a thinker and a big Talmud Chacham in Halacha. The Kuzari, Yehuda HaLevi, was known as a poet who loved Eretz Yisrael and was like dying all his life to try to get here. I'm holding in my hand a sefer written by a Talmud Chacham whom I never met, but myself have been profoundly impacted by. I would not recognize him when I saw him on the street, but his svarim have shaped me a lot for the last 10, 15 years. Rav Yitzchak Shelat is a Rebbe in the Yeshiva in Ma'ale Adumim. He's written a number of svarim that really elevated me. In my hands, I have Bein HaKuzri L'Ramba. Talks about those two people. One seems like a man of the mind. The other one is a man of the heart. And Rav Shelat's basic point is that Gorman was talking before about we sometimes get caught up in the verses, not the psukim, but the this versus that. So sometimes people like to sort of like, oh, it's like him versus him, and like the Rambam is all in the head, and the Kuzri is all in the heart. And Rav Shelat points out, if you actually look at the Svarim and think about what they say, there is a lot of overlap. And he actually takes you through 13 different sugyos, big topics, big ideas in Hashkafa, and shows for each one, yeah, there are nuances of difference, but there's a tremendous amount of overlap. Tonight we're talking about Emunah, and that's the first topic in the Sefer. And Rav Shelat opens with a pair of ideas from the Kuzri that I think is we could use to organize so much of our thinking and our growing and our feeling and our learning. And he talks about, where does Emunah come from? Our connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, our belief in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, our knowledge of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, our experiencing and living with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, where does it come from? Is it Raya or is it Re'iya? Is it proof, Raya, or is it seeing, experiencing, feeling HaKadosh Baruch Hu? In English, in Hebrew, those words are very, very close to each other. Raya, proof, and Re'iya, seeing, feeling, experiencing. And the truth is, Rav Shelat says, you know, the stereotype is the Rambam's all into proof, and the poet Yehuda HaLevi and the Kuzri is all to just like feeling and seeing HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the truth is, he says, if you actually look in the Svarim, they both are talking about a blend, a difference of emphasis, a difference what the mix is. But everyone is living, every serious thinking, feeling Jew is living in the blend of thinking and seeing. Of knowing HaKadosh Baruch Hu and experiencing HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And I want to talk just personally about experiences I've had, and maybe some of them will be some experiences, some reflections, and maybe some will be useful for each of us in our own journey, our own growth. And then we'll open the floor last couple minutes to some questions. In thinking about sort of the seeing and the proving, sort of the left brain rational thinking versus the experience and the feeling of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There is a mix. It's sort of lie along the spectrum. I think the first thing in terms of like the proving, the logical thinking, personally, there's a line from Talmud Chacham knows Yaakov Emden, lived in the 1700s, that really, really speaks to me a lot. And I think it's so much more true now than it was for him in the 1700s, 300 years ago or more. He said, you know, the Rishonim, including the Rambam and the Kuzri, both talk about sort of basing your faith on Yetzias Mitzrayim, on Matan Torah. And he says, back then, 1,000 years ago, 900 years ago, that might have been the greatest source of proof. It's not any less, but there's something else that's grown and grown and grown over the last 1,000 years to overtake them. Talk about verses. He says, by now, this was in the 1700s, he says, the Jews have survived and thrived so remarkably. Says it's been, you know, 1700 years in Galus since destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash. Nations have come and gone, empires have come and gone, and the Jews sort of have this like trajectory in history. It's totally unlike anything else. We've been without a people, without a place. We've been a people without. We've been a non-dominant people. Everywhere we've gone for 1700 years, and we're not just survived, we're thriving. He says that by now in history, Yaakov Emden wrote 300 years ago, that's such an amazing miracle, and by the way, also predicted in the Chumash, that said that's an even stronger source of emunah, he writes, than anything else. And I would say, I think about that a lot, because if that was true in the 1700s, and you, maybe some of you are familiar with a famous line from Mark Twain. Maybe some of you even hear it or say it at your Seder. He wrote in Harper's Magazine, if you care to look it up, in the 1890s, where he wonders, like, you know, the secret of the Jew. He was sort of puzzled, like, why he makes the same point. He leaves it as a question. He's like, I don't get it. Why do the Jews work their way through history different than anyone else? And the truth is, if it was impressive then, it's 1,000, 1,000,000 times more impressive 300 plus years later, when we have, on the one hand, survived even more, so many more pogroms, and the Holocaust, and, on the other hand, we've also seen so many, not only the nevuos of Jewish survival in Galus, at odds with the rules of history, even more, we've seen so many positive nevuos. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has done so much for us over the last 100 plus years. We've seen the unfolding of so many positive nevuos. Rabbi Akiva danced. Rabbi Akiva was smiling when he could imagine which positive nevuah, that one day there'll be old people and young people relaxing and enjoying themselves in Yerushalayim. We get to see that. For centuries, Jews were davening for the time when HaKadosh Baruch Hu will bring Jewish people back to Eretz Yisrael from all over the world. Go back over 100 years ago, there were 6,000 Jews in Eretz Yisrael, and then 60,000, and then 600,000, and now way more than 6 million. Jews have come back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, has brought Jews back to Eretz Yisrael from every part of the globe. And the list goes on and on and on and on. The only time that a dead language came back to life to become the spoken language of millions of people, the only time in recorded human history, and the list goes on and on. Studying history, you see HaKadosh Baruch Hu in history so powerfully once you open your eyes. It is remarkable. So that's one type of certain terms of thinking about it logically and just noticing, wow. You know, I have a soft spot in my heart for science. Some of you who know me may know that. For math and science, and you might think science, there's your cold logical proof in thinking. The truth is, for me, it was one of the greatest re'ia experience moments of my first 3 years at YU. My first 3 years at YU was both in the Beis Medrash and college, as opposed to 27 years since. And I've retained my fascination for science and all sorts of things, but been formally totally in the Beis Medrash. You know, I think one of my, just personally, one of my greatest spiritual experiences was actually on the 11th floor of Belfer in a physics lab in a class in advanced quantum field theory. Just sort of seeing like the elegance of the beauty of how HaKadosh Baruch Hu built his world. It's like so powerful. I love sunsets. I love sunrises. I'm more often up for sunsets than sunrises. And I love birds and I love canyons. And this is yet another type of seeing the beauty of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's world and the elegance. It's so powerful. And a third piece, spoke a little about seeing HaKadosh Baruch Hu in history and feeling HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the beauty of his world, the beauty of science. Another difference between then and now is maybe our ideas have changed a little bit. I think you may see this in the Ramchal, the author of Masiyos Yesharim and Derech Hashem and so many other svarim in the 1700s. And it probably has to do with larger intellectual trends. I don't know that we look so much for proof. Ramban already talks in one place about how there are different types of logic, different types of thinking, different parts of human existence. But we look, as Rabbi Kelman speaks about, for seeing that things make sense and seeing that things are intellectually satisfying and plausible. It's the way the Ramchal opens Derech Hashem when he sort of builds his whole world of Jewish thought and machshava. He starts with certain axioms, certain basic ideas, and things flow from that. And I think that's what we're looking for when we seek to sort of on the intellectual side. We're seeking to see that things make sense. You know, proof is a trick, slippery thing. That was something that people in the Middle Ages were very, very excited about. It doesn't appeal to us as much. You know, you can always make an argument you can always find someone who will make an argument for some position. But what you're looking for is to see that this is, as Rabbi Kelman talks about, having permission to believe. That this is, it's logical, it's thoughtful, and it's intellectually satisfying. If you're interested in more of that, some of you may find Rabbi Kelman's svarim appealing and satisfying, permission to believe, permission to receive. He talks about rational ways of thinking about Emunah and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and rational approaches to thinking about the Torah and HaShemayim. Some of you may find where Ira Kaplan writes, fantastic, he has so much, it's so thoughtful. And bringing it back to the core. Re'ia, raya, proof, and seeing and experiencing, it makes you think also about the following. And I think it's important, very important balance. There's a pasuk in Divrei Hayamim when David HaMelech is giving his final words at the end of his life to his son Shlomo, who's going to succeed him on the throne of Klal Yisrael. He says, Da'as al ke'avicha v'avdeihu. Know the God of your fathers and then worship him. Have a relationship with Leiv Shalem with Nefesh Chafetz. You have a rich relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu if you start with Da'as al ke'avicha. Two of the Rishon who were very into thought and philosophy, both the Radak and the Chovas HaLevavos, they both say that phrase is a fantastic blend. Da'as al ke'avicha. You're going to know, you're going to try to understand, you're going to explore who the God of your father. Exploration, trying to think about things is great. It needs to be based in a sense of tradition. You have to have the intellectual humility to realize, yeah, of course I'm going to try to understand that Kadosh Baruch Hu more. Kadosh Baruch Hu gave me a mind. Kadosh Baruch Hu gave each of us a great brain. We should use it to understand his Torah and to try to understand him. And at the same time, we have the humility to realize that I don't know everything that makes sense. Just because I don't yet understand something doesn't mean it's not true. have the humility and the sense and the rationality to realize there's so much more truth out there than I will know. There's so many more questions to think about than any person can spend time on. And to have that blend of being rooted in Masora, and then with that basis trying to understand it more, it's a great blend. The Rambam talks about sort of three ways that we know things. He says a thoughtful person will know something to be true, either because logically I thought about it, I demonstrated it, or because I see it, I sense it, I experience it, or because of tradition. Three bases for knowing things. And that sort of, I think, ties a lot of what we're talking about together. The re'iyah and the raya, there's the raya, there's the logical thought, and there's also the re'iyah, even the personal re'iyah. I've experienced things, I've felt things, I've seen things, or I have a masorah, as Rama puts it, from Nevi'im or from Tzaddikim. People who I trust, people who strike me as people worth relying on. And maybe I'll wrap this up with that last point, with people. Because people also, I think, are a big part of the experience. Gemara tells us, Tanam tells us, that one of the ways, most powerful ways that we experience HaKadosh Baruch Hu is through personal relationships with people who are close to Him. Lots of people claim to be close. Lots of people seem to be great. One of the ways that you can tell someone's really great is when the longer you get to know him or her, are they... Lots of people look good, and then you know, sort of the more you get to know them, the more you see not so impressive. Then there are people who, the more you get to know them over months and years, and hopefully decades, they become more and more impressive. Sure, everyone has flaws. No one's perfect. But the humility is more real. The genuineness is more genuine. The authenticity, the real compassion, the real caring for other people. When you meet people like that, I've had the schus to meet people like that in my life, they're keepers. Those are the people you wanna follow. And those are people that can really, really raise you. Aaron Lichtenstein writes in an essay, he says he was, as a teenager, he's a thinker, he's very troubled by different questions, didn't understand the morality of what Torah says about Amalek. It really troubled him for a long time. And then he says, he realized, he heard a story about Reb Chaim Brisker, and that solves his problem. So what was the story? The story was, Chaim Brisker, Chaim Soloveitchik, you may have heard of him as sort of the great mind, one of the great minds of Jewish people, brilliant analyst. He heard something unbelievable about Reb Chaim's heart. A lot of unbelievable things. Here's one. Reb Chaim Brisker, he was a Rav of Brisk. There was a period of time, I don't know, months, probably years, when he used to check his doorstep every morning when he woke up for foundlings. I mean, if there was a woman who had a baby and for whatever complexity couldn't take care of that baby, she would leave the baby early in the morning on Reb Chaim Brisker's doorstep, and he would take care of that baby. That was a long-term investment in a random child whom he did not know. Aaron Lichtenstein said, Chaim had a heart way larger than mine. He's a far more moral person than I could pretend to be. If he somehow made his peace with this question on Amalek, then I'm good. And Aaron Lichtenstein has a postscript where he writes, years later, heard someone giving a speech, someone very self-important, and talking about putting down this whole, what the Torah says about Amalek. Aaron Lichtenstein said, and I wondered to myself, does he check his door every morning for families? I don't think so. Look for people who are profoundly, authentically, genuinely impressive people. And those people can guide you, those people can lead you, like Rabbi Gorman was saying. And those people themselves, Es Hashem al Kechatira, are a way of experiencing indirectly the grandeur of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And we'll tie it all together with this bow. Everything we've been talking about, different ways of thinking about the blend of the proof and the seeing and the three sources of where we know things, the knowledge and the heart, the head and the heart, ultimately, that's the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us. It's not just Kuzari, Rambam, Re'iya, Raya. It goes back to basics, to the most basic mitzvahs, to the most basic expectations. We'll learn about it in 2 weeks from now. We say, what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu want of you? Two of the most basic pieces of that puzzle are rationally being conscious of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yira, and going beyond that to having a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to love growing, to love HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The head and the heart are meant to be blended from the start, Ad HaYom HaZeh.